one podcast, mining the Magic the Gathering community for salt. This is the Howling Salt Mine.
It's the Howling Salt Mine. The Howling Salt Mine.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Howling Salt Mine podcast, the podcast where we delve into those salty, salty minds of the Magic the Gathering community, find the salty stories, the saltiest posts, those salty confessionals that we love, put them in our mind cart, and bring them right back up to you, our dear prospectors at home. As always, I'm your host, Sam, and I'm joined today by my two co-hosts, Mike and Tony. Say hey, guys.
What up, what up, what up?
Hello.
And we are also joined today by our mythical fourth pod member, Nick.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
And before we go any further into the mine,
yoo-hoo.
You know we got to shout them out. Our nice tier patrons. That's right. I'm not forgetting. I'm not going to record this halfway through the episode and splice it in later. We're actually doing it at the top, like how we're supposed to.
But the way you said that, it makes it sound like you didn't actually do it at the top.
Yeah. But he actually is this time, folks. It's real. We're doing it correctly.
I swear.
Please, bro.
And this week we have Alex Balix, Cream Bean, Hephaestus Bolts, Prime Speaker Florian, Yafe Judge, Accidental TPK, Royal Flood, and Digi Mans. Thank you all for being so nice.
Hell yeah. Fucking hell
very
yeah.
Nice. That's a lot of nice.
That's a lot of nice.
That's a lot of nice right there. So the episode today is going to be a little bit different. We were just at MagicCon Chicago, and like we traditionally do after all of our various con visits and things like that, we did it for Philly, we did it for Vegas, Mike and I did one for Commander Sealed. We're going to talk about the convention experience, y'all. We're going to go through each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, talk about all the things we did, the games we played, talk in general about the people we met, all that kind of stuff. First of all, just a quick disclaimer. I think I do this before every single one of these episodes. If this is your first Howling Salt Mine episode, check out one of the other episodes. This is not our traditional content. Generally, we're reading salty stories, giving advice, telling jokes, things like that. This is a little bit more of like a slice of life, live through the convention with us kind of experience that we like to do.
No jokes in this episode for
sure.
Yeah,
we won't be funny and we not a definitely funny episode. Won't be educational.
Straight business on this one,
Zero fun.
This is just a book report, really. Yep.
More of a history lesson.
Oh, God. I haven't thought about a book report in a long time, and they sucked.
Dude. Yeah, book reports were fucking awful, man.
I fucking hated that shit.
Now you can just, like, ChatGPT them, problem solved. A couple seconds, type it
like,
in.
Yeah, probably, dude. I mean, that's honestly true.
As a large language model, I really thought the best part of Great Expectations was.
Yeah. Dude, I have this, like, core memory of it was the first time I ever got a C in school, and I was in fucking fifth grade when I got it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's because we were supposed to be doing like a history kind of book report thing about World War II, and I didn't do it, but I had all these like reference materials and stuff, right? So we're supposed to be doing like a mid report check-in with the teacher, and we're all getting called to the front and talking one-on-one with the teacher just to see how things are going and what we've learned so far. So I go up to the teacher, I go up to Mr. Morris, and shout out to you, Mr. Morris. And I bring this like stack of papers about like World War II on it. And he's kind of talking to me about it and kind of quizzing me. And I truly know nothing. So I'm just trying to like bullshit. And I'm like glancing down at the paper and like just peeping names and facts and trying to like regurgitate them. And I remember how I told him that I had been reading a lot about the Battle of Churchill. To which he responded, "Sam, Winston Churchill is a person." And I was like, oh, and then he gave me a C.
Yes. Nice. The Battle of Churchill.
The Battle of Churchill. I mean, it sounds like a fucking place.
Yeah, it's about, you know, there's a church on a hill in the UK.
Exactly.
There's a battle there.
Yeah. Yeah, there must have been some kind of battle there.
It was, and it took place in Wynn's Tun.
Yeah. And there was a ton of wind that day.
Yeah.
Dude, oh, it was so bad. That is like pure core memory for me. The first time I was caught fucking lying out of my ass and had consequences.
You know what else was a pure core memory? This trip to Chicago.
Totally was.
Fucking fact, dude.
Quick disclaimer right at the top here. I just want to say that, like, we met so many fucking people this weekend. Other players, podcast listeners, other creators. You all know who you are. We had an amazing time with all of you. We're not going to be able to name drop everybody or even remember everybody's names, unfortunately. But, you know, we appreciate everybody that we met. Such a magical experience, honestly. And I'm really stoked to talk about it.
Dude.
There was a lot of gathering at the Magic the Gathering.
There was a lot of magic.
Dude, so much gathering. And like,
yeah,
it was fucking great. It was amazing.
You guys know how the One Piece is real? The gathering is real also.
Yeah, we'll get into it later, but I have discovered that the One Piece is in fact real as well.
The One Piece.
I just want to collect the cards because the card stock is so nice.
And the card stock is so nice.
Yes. That's the only thing I know about the game other than
the cards. He says that because,
but also, you know, big waifu boobies. Just
boy.
Oh man, starting off strong. So let's get into Friday. So, you know, we all traveled in on Thursday. We had a nice little Airbnb right outside of the convention center. You know, maybe like
Was it nice though?
I have
a little rant about the Airbnb. It was fine, but it was definitely like a contractor special type Airbnb.
I
have some specific grievances. First off, the carpet looks like it was made from old blankets, at least in my room.
Well, we did put you in the old blanket room.
Yeah. The worst part though for me that first night, I did not sleep for shit because one, I'm a large guy. The bed was like a $20 Walmart bed frame and it squeaked like shit every time I like moved, and it was ridiculous. And then also the bedroom, like it's like the building we were in was like an old, like it's a storefront building. We were on like the second floor. And so the only window into the room was this giant skylight. And of course it was a full moon, clear sky, and the moon was just beaming right into my fucking face all fucking night.
So your lycanthropy really kicked in and you were you were howling at the moon all night.
Yeah, I went, exactly. I was full werewolf, but yeah, I did not sleep very well inside Airbnb.
Yeah, the price was right and the location was nice, but there was a moment where I like reached for one of the handles in the shower and it came right off. And I was like, oh.
All right. Like the shower head that was like somehow floating in space, like you could touch it and it would just kind of move. There was no resistance to it. The water pressure was like a couple drops.
Yeah.
Yeah. The water pressure was definitely a thing.
It was definitely not a high quality establishment.
The best thing about the Airbnb is we did not spend much time in it. Also, it was pretty much like sleep, get out of there immediately to go be at the con all the time.
Sleep, use our two bathrooms, which are a requirement of
the two bathrooms. Yeah, was close. I will give it. I will give it that.
Yeah,
that was fair.
The big highlight of Friday for me was being on an escalator in the airport and someone saying, "Is that a little pistachio boy?" And like absolutely losing my mind and realizing that like that was going to be what the weekend was also. Like someone recognizing my voice and my swag, like hoodie, and being like, "Oh yeah, that's probably one of these people."
I like how you said your swag hoodie. I was like, "Oh, yeah, like look at that swag."
You just recognized his swag.
It wasn't just the hop in my step. That
swag.
Damn, that guy must like pistachios. Look at that swagger.
Damn. That motherfucker looks like he eats a lot of pistachios.
Get that boy some pistachios.
I bet he's getting them with the shells on and is shucking them himself. Damn.
His fingers must be sore.
Yeah. Dude, that is so real. After eating like a bag of pistachios and the tips of your fingers are all like raw and hurty.
Yep.
Doesn't compute. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you crack them with your teeth?
Just no. Fucking,
no, I just rip them apart and I'm calloused up, so it just has no impact on me.
He's just a pro pistachio player.
Pro tip is you use another pistachio shell to crack your pistachio shells.
Yeah, it's true.
That is a pro tip.
The tip. You guys aren't eating the shells?
I like my pistachios extra crunchy.
Yeah, I'll take them with the extra fiber, crunch. Bro. You guys are having smooth pistachios, not the crunchy.
Oh my god!
So let's talk like overall con. So we get there super early on Friday, pick up our badges, peace out, and grab a little bit of breakfast. But we got to get our eyes on the con space, and I think it was a little bit deeper into the McCormick Convention Center than we originally thought. Like the McCormick Convention Center is fucking massive. It's like
huge.
It's just like a complex of various convention halls. You know, I heard like through the grapevine that this was in one of the smaller convention halls. And yeah, and that was kind of like a theme throughout the weekend was a couple things. One was that this was a sold out convention, man. There were a lot of people there. Yep. It was like well attended for sure.
A lot of neck beards and a lot of sweaty hands.
Yeah.
a lot of stray farts in the crowd.
Oh gosh. You're really selling it, guys.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's just the territory, no, man.
That's the truth.
That's just gonna happen, you know what I mean? But as far as like the con space went, you walk right in, there's the Creator Central to your left. There's the artist area to your right. The artist area seemed like packed with fantastic artists. You know, I knew a lot of people who were just getting signatures and different things like that all weekend long.
Yeah, but to the effect that of like literally like 4 hour waits for some of the artists. For people who showed up the early morning, like
all of the lines were like constantly capped.
That is very normal for Magic Cons. Like
I agree.
Expected at this point. Summit is an outlier because Summit like was so small that you could get down to like 15, 20 minute lines.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you were desperate for, you know, access to artists, it was probably Summit was probably the better win on that one. But there were probably more artists at this one too. So
yeah, I think there were probably like two times the amount. It was crazy. I think the biggest thing, and you know, we'll talk about this more, but the command zone was pretty small this year. I think we were expecting it to be much larger just based on our experience in like Philly and the way that was laid out. So, you know, there were some times where we struggled to grab tables and stuff like that. Sometimes I wonder, like I was talking about this with Caroline, sometimes I wonder with these conventions if they like assume a specific percentage of people will be sitting down and playing and a specific percentage of people will be up and like in lines and things like that. And I think just way more people wanted to be sitting and jamming games and playing. And, you know, towards the end of the weekend, people were grabbing floor space and expanding into other rooms and stuff like that to jam games, which was good that they opened up more space. But, you know, on that first day, it was definitely we walked through the command zone bright and early and we were like, damn, it's almost full.
Yeah, it's filled.
Yeah. The one thought I had to that was that I wonder if it's from a like booking perspective, if they were just at the right size, if not over for the building that we were in, but too small for the other buildings. Cause like the other buildings are way bigger cause they're designed to hold like the Chicago Auto Show and like other like substantially larger conventions. So I wonder if it's just a fact of like, you can't really book a bigger space cause you don't have the crowds to justify that. Like the next tier up is such a jump up that there's just not a like justification for
it. In which case it would be like empty and not feel good. You know, right. I feel like there's an element too, though, of like, there's a lot of space that's dedicated for the paid events.
Yes. Yeah.
I get it to a degree. Like they want people to do the paid events, but I just think there's more people that are coming to the event to literally just play free Magic. I don't know how much they look at, like, I want to know all the stats. They must have so many numbers at the end of these things. Yeah. And I feel like the same thing sort of happened in Vegas. And I'm kind of like, I just wish that became more of a priority, but you know, it is what it is.
I think it's a balance of something that's going to improve over time. Cause like, you know, we didn't get out to Vegas last year or Minneapolis last year, but Mike and I were at Philly a year ago and Philly was like massive to the point where if I was an event coordinator, I might look at all those empty tables in the command zone and be like, this was too much space. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's going to be this balance as more of these cons happen where it's sort of like, okay, well, maybe we had too many open tables at this place, so we could probably scale it back. Ah, well, now we don't have enough. And you're kind of like trying to find this happy balance while also trying to find what's best for each individual venue. And like you said, this might have just been like on the cusp of being the right size. And the next level up for a larger space was just like way too much space.
Sure. Yeah. I just think in this instance, they weren't even close to the right number of tables for the commander play.
Like, I feel that.
They definitely had the tables. You just had to go find them. And finding them was like an adventure because it involved basically going down to like these like sub basement levels, dark dungeony aqueduct the floors that were
A
little strange, a little sus, but there were tables there.
We'll talk about that more when we get to Saturday. So basically on Friday, we walk around, get the lay of the land. We were super happy to bump into our buddy Adam at the Mana Vault. I was super stoked to see his booth there. Eventually bumped into our buddy Tim Gold Sabertooth, Kevin, Cal from Herald's Horn. All the homies were there. It was just a nonstop weekend of bumping into friends. And the first thing that we did on Friday was our Howling Salt Mine get together.
Well,
before we get back, yeah, hold on.
I'll let Tony do it.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, we were like fucking signing shit, which I'll be a nerd. It was cool. It was fun,
dude. It was awesome.
It's hyper cool. And we walk over to a table to sign something, and we just sit down and we're like signing it, and somebody's like, we're talking because we talk to each other like humans, and somebody's like, yo, you're the Howling Salt Mine, like, what is up? And it was fucking Covert Go Blue.
Yeah. Yeah, so like a day before we arrive, we get this tweet from Covert Go Blue that's like, I can't believe you guys are going to be at the convention. I love you so much. I can't wait to tell you how much I love your podcast to your face. And I like screenshotted it and sent it to you guys. And I was like, I think CGB got hacked.
No way. This is real.
But like first day we're walking around, somebody finds us, is like, holy shit, are you the Howling Salt Mine guys? We're like, yeah. And he's like, I have a bunch of stuff for you to sign for me and for a friend that couldn't get here. So, you know, I was signing like Marath's. I had a Zatalpa, and he was like, you know what to do with this. And I was like, you're right, I do. And wrote like the 1-800, are you flapping on it, and all the keywords and stuff. And then CGB sits down and he's like, I know that voice. And we just start chatting with him. And he's like, you know, he's just super complimentary, just such a sweet guy. And he's a massive fan of the show. So shout out to you, CGB, if you're listening right now. And shout out
as
to your wife,
his wife,
who calls us, his lovely wife, who calls us the funny podcast, which I greatly appreciate. That was surreal to just be sitting there at that table with Covert Go Blue. People are coming up to him and having him sign stuff. People are coming up to us and having us sign stuff. And we're just like chit-chatting while doing all these signatures.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy, man.
It was a cool moment for sure.
It was a big moment for me because that was like a creator that I used to like watch diligently, you know, like consistently when his content would come out. I'd be like, ooh, there's another CGB episode, like video out. I should go watch it. And it was a cool moment for me, for someone that I respected and was so impressed by, to be like, hey, I like what you guys do.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
It's kind of like an indicator for like the tone of the weekend for us because, you know, we've been to other conventions in the past, had people ask us to sign things, but it's usually like a handful of people who know who we are. And whenever we meet a fan, you know, we're so fucking stoked because it's just like, holy shit, you know who we are and you're excited to see us? Like, that's crazy. And this weekend, it was just nonstop, man. Like, I didn't have a day go by where, like, multiple people were very excited to meet me and wanted me to sign shit. Yeah. And it really, the whole weekend just felt like the culmination of all our hard work on the podcast so far and just feeling like a fucking big boy creator. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Love.
Yeah.
I had a thought after the con that I wanted to share. That is the last first time you will have that experience, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh shit. We're mildly famous on the internet now.
Yeah.
And like people recognize us enough that we had like what 30, 40 people like come over for a picture like on Sunday.
I think we had a good like 20.
That's the last 25. First time of that, which I think is really cool.
But like I wasn't expecting it. Like Sam was expecting it more than me. Like he had like markers and shit to like I just like
showed up with my
goofy self. I was like, I'm here. You're like, can you sign this? I'm like, do you have a pen or something? Like, otherwise I'm writing it in blood and nobody wants that. Like,
yeah, I mean, I was talking about it with Alan from Mental Misplay. I like bumped into him on that first day and I was like, dude, it's fucking crazy. It's like nonstop. People are asking for pictures, they're asking for signatures. And he's like, yep. He's like, that's how it's going to be from now on. And you can't go back, dude. And he pointed to all my decks. I had like two full quivers on me or like a quiver and a half on me. And he pointed to all my decks. He's like, you're not going to play any of those today. You're just going to be talking and staying busy all day, which almost was true. But we wanted to have this big Howling Salt Mine get together. You know, we didn't get an official meet and greet at the Creator Corner. And one of the things that we wanted to do in lieu of that was to have this like Howling Salt Mine get together. So our plan was to like meet up at noon on Friday, get everyone together in the command zone, take over a shit ton of tables, and just jam games until like four. And of course, the command zone was fucking jammed,
stacked
with people.
Like truly not a table available.
When we walked in that morning, there were maybe like 10 tables scattered available, but even that was pretty fucking full at that point.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if that. I think 10 is too high. Like when we first got in already, there was like a handful of tables. Like yeah. You would maybe get two whole tables next to each other, and a table was like two or three pods.
Yeah, two pods like at a table is like eight each. So we, in a panic, walked around the con, luckily found some space. You know, shout out to Mike for always being like my calm, cool, collected rock when I'm fucking freaking out. He's like, dude, it's not even a problem. Let's just pick this and make a decision. And I'm like, okay. So we ended up finding some space right next to the command zone in like the ticketed event space where, you know, like the white tables, we were calling them. They all have these like white tablecloths. Grab some space over there. We posted in our Discord. We posted on social media to try to get people to all come over and find us. And ended up getting like the majority of our patrons who were showing up at the con. Shout out to all you guys for jamming games with us. There's this big crew from Des Moines, Iowa, who came up and joined us over there. And then just like a handful of other like listeners, people who we had bumped into earlier that day, people who were following us on social media and knew where to go. And we jammed for like, I think like 5 hours and probably had like 6 or 7 pods going at most. Like it was a lot of people playing.
We had a full row of tables and then some. Like there were people, and like we didn't have enough tables in the row and spilled over to like some of the other ones. And like thankfully, like we didn't get kicked out of the ticket area, which was kind of surprising. Really, I think we were all expecting like at some point that we were going to get booted. And then like I don't know if it's just because we picked the right tables or there were not a lot of events firing on Friday in particular, but I mean, we ran for 4 or 5 hours straight with no issues, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think it was a wombo combo of both. There were other people at like events like getting fired, but like there just weren't that many. And I do think it's because it was like Friday. Yes. And so there's like less on Friday, and Saturday is like the big day. Cause on Saturday, there was a lot more of that of like, y'all best get the fuck out because an event's coming. And like I did scoop up shit at one point. It was just like, meh, like running away, trying to like.
I mean, that was just a surreal experience as well, because like, especially meeting our patrons in person, there's so many people that we have just been chatting with for years. And like, particularly some of like the people there, like I'm going to shout out Digimans because Digi was one of the people that I met on Instagram when I first started the Howling Salt Mine account. It's like a super, super early follower. And he and I have been like chatting for a couple of years now. And to actually meet him in person was just awesome. And, you know, it was just, you know, that's just an example of one of the many people that we got to see there and finally meet in person. And the vibes were fucking amazing, man. Like I said this in a tweet, but it bears mentioning here on the show. But like if the Howling Salt Mine community was an LGS, I would play there every single night. Like the vibes were good.
Yeah.
Everybody had just awesome, really unique, cool decks. And the gameplay was fun and balanced. And like, I didn't have a single bad game over the weekend, honestly. Like it was just fantastic.
Yep. People were calling things a 7 and knew that was a silly thing to do.
To the point where it was almost problematic too, right? Because everyone was like jokingly calling it a 7. It's like, okay, but what is it actually?
And they were
like,
oh, it's a 7. Hey.
Like, I know, but we actually need to figure this out so we can play it.
Yeah. That was really, really cool. So I want to like kind of pause here. Did you guys have any like really fantastic games or see any super unique decks that you remember that you want to like mention from that get together with the prospectors?
I have one. So I was in a game and there was a coin flip deck at the table. They must have missed, I can't even tell you how many. It was like the joke of the game. They didn't hit a single win on a coin flip until like the very end of the game, in which they hit like 8 in a row and had like the commander's power doubles every time you win a flip. And oh, so yeah. they had like this like Zinder fucking... split deck.
Yeah, Zinder split.
It was crazy. It was ginormous, but like it was such a meme. Like we wanted them to do it because they had missed so many fucking flips. But it was like hilarious, and it was such a good time, even though they constantly were missing. And it almost made me want to build one of those decks because I'm just like, that's amazing. But then the one last quick thing I'll say is I somehow found myself in a pod with a fucking Narset deck and a Sliver deck. I was like, what the fuck is going on? It was like the pod from hell. It was still a super fun game, but I was like, what's going on? And I definitely politicked so hard and I think won that game because I was just like, we got to get rid of the fucking Sliver player and the fucking Narset player, right? Like, this is what has to happen. And so it's like a constant duel the whole time, but it was super fun. Those are probably the two highlights that day for me.
Hell yeah. I don't think I have a specific game to mention. I mean, they were all just super, super fun, but there were a couple of super spicy decks. One was a mono black Lurrus deck, and the value that it was creating was just like insane, man. I can't really remember some of the lines in it, but it was just such a spicy brew. One of the things that they were doing was looping Expedition Map every single turn. So they were getting like Urborg and Cabal Coffers and then just kept getting these like Dark Depths, just kept getting all these spicy lands out of the deck. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I didn't expect like mono black lands to be a problem. But it was so, so spicy. And then someone else had a mono black Yargle deck that was like... That the deck was just really, really good. It had like some crazy cards in it. I think there's one called, I forget the name of that enchantment where when you cast a creature, you destroy all other creatures that share a color with it.
Oh, Spreading Plague?
Yeah, Spreading Plague.
Nick would know this.
I would know that because I've read it.
Resident Mogus player.
Yeah. So it had like Spreading Plague and it had some like really punishing enchantments in it. And it was just an incredibly spicy brew, but... The funny thing was that it just had this fallback plan of like, I cast a Yargle and I attack you with Yargle. and it did very, very well. Like, it was really cool to see pop off. I mean, it was just a great time. Like, it was all kind of a blur with just so many people coming over, signing things. You know, apologies to my first game with Tony, Digi, and Ketchup, because I got pulled away from that game like 20 times to sign shit and take pictures with people. And I would look over and you'd all just be looking at me and I'd be like, okay, I think it's my turn.
That was also funny because we went into the day being like, Sam being like, okay, I really, you know, please make sure like mix up your pods, get games in with everybody. Like we probably shouldn't play in pods together. And then the first game I look over and see Tony and Sam shuffling up together and run right next to me. There was a pod with none of us playing in it. And I was like, guys, what?
Sometimes timing is key.
Yeah, that was just poor timing, truly. Like people had already potted up and shuffled up before we had finalized our pods, but... Oh, and man, I gotta shout out Kronk, one of our patrons, who had a motherfucking Pile Gow deck on him.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. The owner of Pile Gow now.
Yeah, it was the Pile Gow deck that Mike and I brewed with Alan on our road trip back from Magic on Philadelphia like one calendar year ago.
Yep.
And he played a game to completion with another person and they had a fucking amazing time. And I was like, oh, this is so dope. He's like, yeah, dude, this deck fucking rocks. I'm like, hell yeah, man. It's so sick. So now I have to build my own. So I just have a Pile Gow deck on me at all times. But holy shit, that was super, definitely super cool.
God, so fucking dope. Pile Gow is not real for those listening.
It is. It's real.
It's so real. If you played it, Tony, you would legitimately really love it.
I think my standout game for that day is a game that I basically was apologizing for the entire time I was playing Aura. And I got an early
pub stomping.
No, not even just making miserable experiences for people at my table. I got an early Priest of the Forgotten Gods out, which is like basically an edict, but it's a repeatable one. It's on a tap effect. And the other thing about it is it makes two mana and draws you a card.
Yeah.
So often it just like is the right play for me to do value wise. If I like don't have a different draw engine on board or like don't have something else to do, I'm like, well, that'll give me two mana and a card. I should probably do that. So everybody at the table, they were great sports about it, but there was a Marin player that like got Marin out pretty early, got two experience counters on Marin, and then had it to sacrifice Marin and then didn't get Marin back out for the rest of the game. Nice. Like still had like some crazy stuff, was able to reanimate a Villis and stuff. So still a lot of like tides turning in that game, which was really cool. And there was a really cool I think Taunos, the toy maker, the one that turns...
Oh, yeah, the Simic one?
No, not the Simic one. It might be a different card then, but it turns a... It's a golem synergy. It makes foods golems and golems foods or something and gives them trample. And it was just really neat. It had like, it played like an Ichitekic at one point, and anytime a creature was dying, it was coming back as an artifact. It was really neat. So there are all these enter the battlefield effects, like chaining things together and then like attacking someone that has like clear blocks on it just to get it to die, to come back as a golem. It was really cool to see.
That's Bernard Ginger Sculptor.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that was Royal Flood's deck, because I also played against that. That was very, very spicy.
It was cool. I thought Flood had the dog deck, the Scooby-Doo deck.
Flood also had the dog deck. Flood,
yeah.
Flood
is also a banger.
Flood is fully Bant-pilled. He just wants to play Bant. Like. That actually reminds me, I just one quick aside about that deck. So I did have a game with Flood, and he played this list. Like, at one point, he was just making so many fucking tokens, because Bernard lets you... when one of your creatures dies, like Mike was saying, it comes back as a food golem. So he had like a Blade Splicer die, which makes a golem token when it comes back in. And then he had a fucking Parallel Lives out. So he was making two tokens when he made the food token. And then each of those two tokens made two golem tokens. So he just at one point just gets like 50 power on the board. And I was playing Roger Arden, and I was going for this like ridiculous attack, and I probably could have won if I just did something completely different, but I had like a challenge that I wanted to attack into Flood and try to get through this like ridiculous thing. So I finished that game with like 48 Bloodthirsty Battle Axes on the board, and I attacked with a Rograk that had like over 170 power to seal that game. And then I think it was Kronk just like hit me for Xaxes with some damaging spell, and I was like, all right, well, I fucking flew way too close to the sun. But man, it was just wild to see those decks pop.
It was like
up.
Exsanguinate for 12 or something.
Yeah, it literally was. He was like, exsanguinate for perfect amount of damage, and I was like, well, I'm fucking dead. How about you, Nick? What things did you see? What cool decks and cool games did you play?
Oof, I honestly, like, it was all a blur. I have a couple notes. One, my dice rolling ability at cons is unprecedented. I think I went first just off of dice rolls like 70-80% of the games I played in.
Hell yeah.
Well done.
Like, I don't know what spell table does to my starting first luck, but man, at the cons it was coming through hot.
Well, it's because you can't use your loaded dice on spell table. So
you can't use your
dice. I think at one point it was somebody else's dice. I don't think I used my dice like maybe once, and I still was first basically every time. So I just have golden hands basically, but I don't remember a lot of the decks I played against. I had like a very explosive win with my Ogre Exonal like $100 burn deck. Which was pretty ridiculous, where basically I had Hero's Blade out already, which basically it's like equipment, and then when you drop Ogre, it automatically equips to it. So Ogre was like a 7/6, and then Pyrohemia, and like
they'll do it,
just completely one shot of the whole board. Yep. It was very beautiful. I also got a Mogus Yokel Hops win, which always feels good.
Yeah, I think I witnessed the end of that one. It was such a funny board state. We were trying to shuffle pods between games, and I was like, are you guys almost done? And they all just looked up to me, and Nick had like 65 life.
Yep.
And then it was like 4 life, 5 life, and 6 life. And they were like, I think the game's about to be over. And Nick just opened his hand, and there was a Yokel Hops in there, and I was like, very cool. All right.
Yeah. So that felt good. The first three games I played of the weekend, I won, which was also a bit unprecedented, just because I was going first. But my background goad deck also got a win, which usually that deck gets second place and then falters because it can't deal with the damage once the damage is actually coming at it.
Goad decks.
And I actually won. So, you know, that's all good.
Hell yeah,
so,
dude.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Hell yeah.
The Ogre deck, though, man, that thing is fucking spicy.
That was like a standout of the weekend, man. I think every single time you dropped that deck, it was a menace that needed to be dealt with.
Yeah, Ogre is kill on sight. for sure.
It really is. It really is.
There was also a great point in that first kind of meetup day that I'd been playing casual so far all morning, and someone was like, someone sat down and I was asking again. I was like, so, you know, what's everyone feeling? What? And one person was like, I'd play CEDH. And I was like, all right, let's go. And everyone was like, oh, okay. Like, I guess you really wanted to play CEDH. And I was like, yeah, I mean, casual is cool, but have you seen CEDH?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you played 3 CDH games while I was finishing my last casual
game.
I'm pretty sure.
We played 2 snappy ones, like 30-minute ones, and we were like, okay, well, those were all really quick. We should play one more while Sam finishes his last one. And then two hours later, we were like, what have we done?
While I was counting my bloodthirsty battle axes. But that was super fun. I mean, it was also just nice to have like kind of a hub where people could come up and like knew where we were and could meet us and say hi and stuff like that.
And we had like tokens laid out on a table too that everyone could come by and grab, which was really fun.
We gave out all of the food tokens. I came home with only a couple that are just, you know, for me to play with, which was pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And we gave out all of our stickers. We walked in with 100 stickers and left with literally none. I think I gave out the last one on Sunday. I think one of the more surreal things about the weekend was, you know, aside from like just meeting so many amazing listeners, signing so many things we didn't expect to even be asked to sign, was seeing how many people were wearing Howling Saltmine swag.
Yeah, yeah, like, that was cool. That was super cool.
We walked in and immediately saw somebody with a 1-800 Are You Flapping shirt on. And the joy that I got and that the listeners got, where I could walk up, like I would see somebody and just walk up to them and be like, hey, that's a cool shirt, here's some tokens, and they'd be like, holy shit, are you the Howling Saltmine guy? Like, just to be able to surprise them and just kind of like walk up and be like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh my god, that was fucking crazy, man. That was so fucking cool. Like, it was just a very awesome feeling to experience that.
Hell yeah. Well, should we move on to the wonderful Clue party?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So after that, we ducked out of there maybe at like 6:30, I want to say. We ended up grabbing dinner with Callahan from the Mind Sculptors, comedian MTG, also from the Mind Sculptors, and Lua, and of course, Callahan's lovely wife.
Number knower as well.
And our buddy Eric showed up as well. Love Eric. Eric was like our con buddy all weekend. At every con, you got to identify a con buddy. And Eric was the one this time.
Yes.
It was just a lovely little dinner, you know. Had a really good time there. Had a couple cocktails, just kind of killing time until we could go over to the Clue party. Clue party was fine. We didn't stick around for too long. And I think, like, we've talked about this a lot. I think there's a couple things we did wrong. I think we should have showed up later and like pre-gamed a little bit more and probably would have enjoyed it more.
And bought the unlimited drink ticket.
Yeah. Did
passes.
You guys not know that they make Tallboy High Noons?
Yeah. The Tallboy High Noons were pretty amazing.
The three of us were having maybe an all right time. And Nick was over there like, guys, I have unlimited drink tickets. And they make Tallboy High Noons. The House of Blues was really cool. Like, and they had opened up all these back rooms. So it was really cool to like walk around this kind of historic building.
I was gonna say that was the cool part about it, like being able to actually like go to every floor and section of the House of Blues, at which like if you're at a concert there or something like that, you just wouldn't be able to do. Like,
yeah.
I was definitely in the VIP sections because I'm a motherfucking VIP. But like, and normally I wouldn't be. So
yeah, the architecture was just like mind-blowing. It was a really beautiful space.
Somebody was definitely just smoking weed in one of the
rooms. Oh my god,
too.
Dude. Yeah, so
trying to solve the mystery.
They were trying to solve the mystery.
So I walk into this little like side room. There are all these like little secret side rooms, and one just like reeks of pot.
Well,
and we walk
hang on,
in.
You got it. Before that, the backstory is that you're supposed to be, because it's the Clue party, right? Yeah. You're supposed to be like investigating and like finding various clues in all of the rooms, and like you could collect stamps or something and get like free packs at the end of the night.
Yeah,
it was a cool like game. Scavenger hunt mixed with logic, like Clue game thing going on. No, none of us participated then. It did seem like the people playing it were having a fun time.
Yeah.
And I think there was like sealed product that you could get if you completed it.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. People were like ripping packs and stuff. So there are these clues hidden all over the place. So you walk into the side room and there's like some big clue in there, but it also just like reeks of pot. And there are these like three dudes sitting there. And they're like, hey, are you like solving the clue mystery? And I was like, I'm trying to solve the mystery of who smoked the doobie. And they just look at me with like no joy in their eyes. And they're like, it just smelled like this when we walked in. And I was like, all right, my joke didn't land. Have a good day, guys. I'll see myself out. Super, super funny. We kind of like hung around on the top floor a little bit. There's a DJ playing and, you know, the music wasn't quite my bag. It was
it wasn't many people's bag.
Yeah,
because if you look down at the dance floor, there's approximately 15, 20 people trying to awkwardly dance. At least when we were there at the time we were there.
There were some choices
We got there kind of late. It was like 9 or like 9:30 when we were like there.
Yeah. So that was like the pre-act. Eventually Grumgully went on, which is like an EDM band. And we were not there for that. After that, we were like, okay, let's like hit some karaoke. We were meeting up with some of our patrons that were there. Shout out to Flood, Cream Bean, and Kronk. And we went downstairs and we're just like jamming. We bumped into our buddy Paul, Is It Punk? And the cocktails in the karaoke bar were fucking delicious, man.
Oh, yeah. To the point that I literally go to the bartender. I was like, these drinks are much better than the drinks that are upstairs. Like, yeah. I had to tell you. I had to. And clearly, like, he thought I was going to be annoying or try and cut the line. I was like, no, dude, I need you to know you're doing a good job. Like, because upstairs, I don't know what the fuck kind of gin and tonic that was.
Oh, man.
Which is two ingredients, but it wasn't good.
It was so bad. It was so bad. So the karaoke was like pretty entertaining and fun. Tony put in for a song and my voice was already gone. So I did not put in for a song, which I don't really regret because Tony's song never fucking came up because the list of people who had put in songs was so long that we literally like chilled for like, it felt like an hour and a half and it never came up. And at that point we were like, you know, let's bounce. Like we were talking with Eric. We were like, let's go back to the Airbnb and just jam a game late into the night. Which is what we did after that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we committed a sin.
We did commit a sin.
We played a 5-player game. We committed an error.
Disappointed.
Yeah. And we also had people, me included, play decks that take advantage of that fact. So I was playing Halden and Paco, getting an extra card off the top every time.
Big dog.
A Nashi. Big dog.
Big dog.
God, here we go.
Which was also the meme of the weekend.
Yeah.
We also had Eric was playing Nashi, I think, which is like it's a similar thing where it's kind of stealing something off of the top of everybody's and then it can play one of those cards like you're playing it off of Bolas's Citadel, so you pay life for the cost instead.
It's like mono black Atali Bolas's Citadel kind of thing going on. It was cool. It was a very cool deck.
That also benefits from having the extra player to consider there. I think we all steadily chunked each other out and then we got to the end and it was just Sam and Nick and we got the saltiest part of the weekend.
Literally was it. I was so fucking salty.
Everybody was tired, like tired and ready to go to bed.
It was 2 a.m.
Sam had like a big board and Nick had I think like just Ogier out
and mana up with damage spells.
One damage. You had like one card in hand or something. You like put a damage spell on the stack to hit Sam and then Sam was like, okay, well, I've got this. And you had already started scooping your cards up, Nick.
Yeah. I was like, I forgot all about like, this.
Well, you either have an answer and I lose or I win. And Sam was like, I must get the satisfaction of
killing
you.
No. Of course you're telling it wrong. Mike was biased from
accurate. I think that's kind of how it went down. No,
Mike was biased from the fucking get-go. Immediately he was revisionist history-ing this thing. So Nick casts a spell to like kill everybody and I have a way to like not die, but Nick is like, I cast a spell, I kill everybody and I win, and everyone's like, yep, you win. And I'm like, I have a response, and you're like, nah, the game's over, and you pack up your shit.
You're also revisionist history.
And you pack up your shit, and I was like, I have a response. And you're like, well, I either win or you win, whatever. I'm gonna pack my stuff up. And I'm like, just fucking, can we finish the game? Like, I was like, can we just finish the game? Can I just cast a spell because I think I have the win? And it was just the most scuffed end to a game.
Hang on. You can tell how not salty I was because I don't remember this game at all until Mike brought it up.
Keep that in mind with this accurate retelling that Nick has no memory of this game.
I'll give you that. But my recollection of it was that I was so low on life that if you basically did anything, I was dead.
Yes.
And that
yes.
was my point. And that was like, either I'm going to win right now or I'm dead. And it like fundamentally the same end state of me packing my stuff up is going to happen regardless. That was the thought. Not that I win. I don't care what your response is. It was the outcome of this game is that the game is over no matter what action happens next. Therefore, I should start packing my stuff up so I can go to bed.
Yeah, I still think that is incredibly whack.
that's just like your opinion, man.
Why not just start every game like that? Just start it and pack up your stuff and be like, the game will end at some point.
Well, but there's still different outcomes that could happen at that point of the game.
But the outcome is that at least the game will end at some point. So you might as well just pack up immediately. Am I right? Why even play the game?
Anyways,
why even play the fucking
game?
We
then went to bed.
As we said, this was the salty
I woke up the day.
The salty peak of the event for us.
Oh, man.
So before I went to bed, I turned on this really bright light above Nick's bed outside the building.
Turned on the moon.
No, he would never fucking sleep. And then I degreased his bed so it was mad squeaky. But he didn't sleep at all.
Ultimate revenge.
It was really funny though. And then, you know, we were just like so punchy about to go to bed and just feeling so great from just like the magic of the day and just stunned by the turnout. And, you know, I was like, guys, should we have a group hug?
and like no one said
no
anything.
No one said anything. And I was just like, all right then. Right. and that just like broke Mike. Oh, me just Mike, being like, Mike all right died. Then. Mike like laughed water out of his nose, which I haven't seen someone do in like a decade, man. And I laughed until like I almost asphyxiated. It was fucking ridiculous. It was probably a mix of like, you know, having been drinking and stuff like that and it being 2 a.m. But holy shit, man.
That was definitely tired humor. 100%.
Yeah. Should we hug? All right.
All right.
Stop it.
We were crying. I was crying.
I shed tears.
Crying again.
Yeah. I fucking cried. It was so fucking funny.
That was great.
So we kick off Saturday and, you know, wake up, hit that same breakfast spot that we had been hitting. Shout out to whatever that fucking hotel was.
Marriott.
Say quickly on that is like each morning we wound up getting like a sit down kind of nice bigger breakfast, which I feel like was like the way to go.
It was 100%. Critical
because then for the most part, I would just like ride that wave for the rest of the day, do a little snake vibe, and then we'd get dinner or whatever.
A snake vibe?
Yeah, where you eat like one meal and you don't really like eat again.
I love that, dude. That's great.
You eat big, you sleep big, and you play big.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I fucking love that. Snake vibes.
So I just think that was like a solid thing that I hope to continue at other cons. Because also like in the very early morning, like there's not much happening. Always games, but it's like if you can just come in prepped for the day, then you don't need to like leave for lunch or something like that. Like I'm a boy who needs food. So like
same.
Getting it out of the way in the morning like works for me.
Yeah, I think like leaving the con to get lunch just eats up so much of the day that like hitting that huge breakfast was like the key to success. And then, you know, the con had like hot dogs and chicken fingers and shit like that. And honestly, the hot dogs are pretty fucking good. So.
Yeah, man, they were legit Chicago dogs.
Yeah, they were like legitimate
minus this, there was no celery salt and sport peppers, but they were pretty close.
Mm.
Yeah, and they were fucking spicy too, man. Get them with the works. Whew, some pickled jalapenos on there. Yeah. Yum.
Hell yeah.
So the name of the game on Saturday for Mike and I was CDH. So we were part of this Learn to Play CDH event that Lua and Comedian MTG were, you know, so kind enough to organize and pull everybody together for. It was us. We had some people from Play to Win there. Dylan and Cam were jamming games. I think Tyler was popping in and jamming games here and there as well. Bunch of other awesome CDH creators. We had some folks from Playing with Power. I know Steven the Generous and Rich from Altar of the Brew were over there jamming games too. And it was really, really fun. It was awesome for a few reasons. One was it was just cool to be a part of that CDH event, jam CDH games all day. It was such a treat. But also, this is the day where the con was the most packed. So table space was at like a premium. So the fact that Mike and I had a dedicated table that we could literally camp at all day and just have guaranteed CDH games was like so clutch.
Yeah, get fucked, fourth player.
We did camp out at it all day too. All day. I stood up one time in the middle of the day to like go use the bathroom and get like a bag of chips and a Gatorade. And then I sat back down. When I stood up like after all of that in the evening to walk around, I was like, wow, my legs are in a state from just chilling all day.
They had like atrophied away. Like I got up once to get Mike and I hot dogs and to use the bathroom. And that was literally it. And we played CDH for 7.5 hours. I think a little over 7.5 hours. Like we were the one group that was there from like the beginning to almost the end, just jamming. And the games were fantastic. I mean, we played against a huge blend of players with different experience levels. Our first game had, you know, one fairly experienced player and one person that was kind of new. They gave us each like really goofy card packs. So they gave me one that was an Ah Real Monsters collector card pack that I cracked open, and Mike got, I think it was an Austin Powers.
Yeah, it was Austin Powers. Pack. Yep.
Super, super funny. But the vibes were great. I think the games that stick out in my mind, I had a couple. The first one was the Double Tyam game that we played. Mm-hmm. That was one that we played with Chris, also known as Dredge3 on Twitter. They were such a treat to play with. You know, we've seen them on Twitter all over and chat with them and stuff like that, but never been able to catch a game with them in person. And they were just piloting Tyam like a fucking well-oiled
super
machine.
Crisp, yeah.
Really, really like really crisp. Cool. It was awesome to see somebody masterfully pilot that deck.
Oh, sorry, wait. That's the one that Tim Gold Sabertooth plays, right?
Yes.
Yep, exactly. Yep,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's that Abzan kind of like Staxy combo deck. It's really cool because it has a lot of like activated abilities that can just rip on the stack and fuck with things in a lot of ways. So it's hard to play into because the line isn't always clear to see.
And it's very hard to counter into. Like there was one point where they said, and I think they were accurate in saying like, I don't need to cast spells from this point on. Like I can win the game just by activating abilities from here on. And like as a Sese player, my heart tickled. I was like, ooh. I don't have to play any more spells. That sounds great.
And the other player, Kane was their name, and he was on Tyam as well. And just like was kind of new to the deck, like confessed that they were a little bit new to the deck, but played it so well. You would not have even known. And Chris got this early Dranith Magistrate out and Kane still managed to get Tyam out twice through the Dranith. The first was like
crop rotationing into a command beacon.
Yeah, crop rot into a command beacon to put Tyam to hand and cast Tyam out. And then Tyam got blown up by the other Tyam player.
Yep.
And then
sent to graveyard, I think.
Yeah, let it go to yard and then like recurred it back from the graveyard on the next turn. It was just like, like to the point where at one point I was playing Mike Sisse deck in this game. And at one point I actually cast Sisse out and did a whole turn and we passed. And then we were like, oh, there's a Dranith out.
Yeah. How did you play Sisse?
Because people were still playing their commanders. I was like completely confused by it. So,
yeah. So the first game we played that day, I played Sisse and made my way to a win without like too much opposition. I think I stacked people out early and then played some stuff, probably had like one or two pieces of interaction I had to deal with and then managed to like stitch a win together. But it like took a while and there was like a new Kinnan player like that we had given like one of the lender decks that like Lua and Ian had prepped for the event. Mm-hmm. And Sam turned to me and was like, these Sisse games, we get it. But like, you shouldn't play that too much today because all the games are just like you playing it and taking forever. And I was like, all right, I guess that makes sense. And then Sam proceeded to borrow Sisse like two or three times during the day and do the exact same thing to the point that he was like, I'm going to build this deck now.
Dude, honestly, like the first time I remember you turned to me and you were like, do you want to play Sisse for this game? And I was just like, hell yeah, I do. Like, oh my God. It's so funny because Mike and I are preparing to go to Punt City 3 in like a month. And, you know, I was like, I don't know if Dawnwaker is going to hang in that meta just because we don't really play into a ton of Bowmasters and the deck's super fragile to it. And then Marath, obviously, I love Marath. It's a fun deck, but it's a fringe deck. I don't think it's going to like be amazing. And I want to have like a chance to do well at the tournament. I rebuilt Blue Farm for this convention. Played it in the first couple of games and was just like, man, this deck, like, I know Blue Farm's got a lot of love out there, but I don't know. It's a fun deck, but it sucks. Just doesn't scratch the itch that I have.
Deck sucks.
And I think the fact that it doesn't play green, like I'm such a green CDH player, you know what I mean? And Sisse feels way more green than most five color decks out there.
You're such a green player, period. Not just
I am.
CDH.
I really am.
In that he's new, right? He's new and bad.
Yeah, he's green. Yeah,
exactly. Greenhorn.
I don't understand how there are so many good cards in Blue Farm and the deck can be that bad. It's just so garbage. Yeah. I hate it.
When the deck does poorly, you feel so let down because you're like, but I'm playing all the best cards. Like, why? why? How could this happen?
It must be me, which doesn't feel good.
So I borrowed Sisse, and I will say just had one of like the wildest Sisse wins with that double tie M game because it was so heavily stacked out. And one of the stacks pieces, I had a point where I could either remove a Drannith or remove a Aven Mind Sensor. So I went with the Drannith so I could activate Sisse. And fucking Tarion Soulcleaver, man, that thing was ridiculous. I got a Derevi up to like 9 power with a Tarion Soulcleaver. And then when I had fucking Brostorm Selvala was out, so I was just making a shit ton of mana. And it was just this like this thing where I had infinite mana, but there was still the Aven Mind Sensor out.
You didn't have infinite mana. You just had a shit ton of mana. You had like 20 mana or something.
Yeah. It was like 18 or 20 mana. And I had like an activation on the stack and Chris had some removal on the stack and I was just trying to win on top of it. And I was tutoring with Sisse 4 cards at a time because of the Aven Mind Sensor and somehow managed to stitch together a win from that. And it just felt so good.
Yeah.
And I have this thing where whenever I play Mike's Sisse deck, I just do crazy shit with it. And I just love to turn to him at the end and be like, are you proud of me, Dad? And he's always like, I'm so proud of you. That was amazing. So anyways, I'm big on Sisse now. I'll probably start playing that for sure.
I think the other standout game from that section of the event was we got to play a game with, I think they were both newer, or definitely one of the folks was newer, and we lended them one of the Malcolm Tana decks. So it's like Teemer Pirates. And then there was another player, I think, on Talion in that game.
Yeah, another player who had their own Talion deck, but was pretty new to CDH. I believe their names were Eric and Patrick. I did write it down.
That sounds right.
I apologize if that's wrong.
That sounds right. They were both awesome. They're really nice. I think it was Eric was like, yeah, we're just here for the day. I was just hoping to meet you guys. And
yeah.
To play a game with you guys was really cool.
He'd been like waiting to jam a game with us, which was awesome that we got to get that game.
So that was awesome. And
that game was so funny, dude.
That game was ridiculous because I was playing Magda and
Sam
was playing Marath. Literally the reason I stopped playing Magda. And of course, the game is just like him blowing up my dwarves and me rage casting like Mog Salvage to destroy his Skull Clamp and shit and just like blowing up his stuff. But at one point they had Eric and Patrick had like a, I think it was like 7 or 8 card deep stack. Because
like
we've
crazy
just been feeding
war.
Them cards basically, and they had this like crazy counterspell war, and I think Eric was like literally one mana away from a win too in their first CDH game with like super clean lines that they had figured out with like, you know, like one other, I think it was Ghost or some patron was standing behind them like shouting out a couple ideas, but like letting them still like run it the whole way through. It was so cool to see people throughout the day, people of various levels like figuring things out, learning new things, just getting excited to play games. It was a delight.
That game was particularly cool because they just like, you could see that they caught the CDH bug.
Yeah.
And like both of their decks did the thing. We also had the most thoughtful pregame chat with them. Not like pregame, like what are our expectations for the game, but like we really talked through the strategies of both decks to get them set for the game. And Eric was just asking such thoughtful questions. And we were like going through mulligans with them and looking at the cards individually, hands up. And we did that for a couple other matchups with people during that event. But that one just like really stuck out in my mind as like two people that wanted to just be like sponges for CDH and absorb as much knowledge as they could. And it was just an awesome game. And Patrick ended up crushing it. And Patrick also had the fucking most blinged out deck. And he was like, I played CDH a couple times and just like knew it was for me, sold a bunch of my shit and just bought this absolutely blinged out Talion deck. And it was spicy as fuck, dude. It was, the cards were like insane, like judge promos and shit like that. It was He went hard. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think he had like everything except the duels too.
So, yeah. And like foiled out as fuck. It was like, Tony, you would have gone fucking crazy.
I would have fucking nutted for it. But
yes. the cognitive dissonance on someone being like, yeah, I just started playing CDH and then dropping like blinged out shit right away.
We're like, it is what? Like amazing.
What do you mean? Like,
what is this, dude?
Well, let me take this opportunity to rewind the clock to the beginning of the day when Sam and Frodo, but this is really Nick and I, leave our compatriots.
Who's Sam and who's Frodo in this discussion?
I'm definitely Frodo. And you're definitely Sam.
I mean, that is true in the fact that I'd have to carry you.
Yeah, like, it's honestly complimentary in the fact that Sam's a badass and Frodo's like, all right.
Like, literally. But so these two nerds are here doing their CDH thing, and Nick and I are like, well, let's try and find table space. It's like the initial adventure we go on. So we find like a little spot, and like we've got one of our friends, Rothbox, who's a patron, who's like wants to jam some games. We're like, fucking hell yeah, this would be great. We need one more person. And like, this was one of my cool moments of the con where like I took a picture of where we were and posted it in the Discord, and like instantaneously, like literally within two minutes, like 10 people had just like swarmed and were like, let's fucking go. And I was like, this is amazing. This is like the greatest thing ever. And so Nick and I start jamming some games and we're playing CDH.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm a fucking pro. And the first game was fucking trash Selesnya Bros, because Rothbox also plays trash CDH.
Yeah, Gaddick Teague.
So
baby,
he's running a Gaddick Teague and I'm running in Selvala, and it's into Animar and Borygmos and whoever, the and Fibblethip, like the teamer.
Oh yeah, yeah, the teamer one. That's a funny deck.
And I was happy in this game because fucking Selvala won. 100% win rate for the weekend, baby. Like, blue players, I put a Grand Abolisher on the stack, and both blue players are looking at each other and they're like, meh, I think Nick might have not had a counter, but I know there was a counter that was out there. Yeah. And they're like, I'll make you have it. I was like, you fool. Of course I have it. But I fucking won, and it was great. I have to say, the highlight for me was, I found a new CDH deck, boys.
Yes!
Yes! It's only taken 4 years at this point.
So Rothbox lets me borrow one of his decks, which is the Obnixilis Captive Kingpin deck.
Oh, it's such a cool deck.
For people who don't know, I will just read it real quick. So it's like, whenever one or more opponents each lose exactly one life, put a +1/+1 counter on Obnixilis, Captive Kingpin. Exile the top card of your library. Until your next end step, you may play that card. So it's like this crazy, stormy, pingy value engine bullshit. Yeah. And I was just like, I was living it. I had like 10 cards, 15 cards in exile, like every other turn. Like, there was a Rhystic Study out. You just feed me. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll play that and like fucking ping you for one for drawing. Cause there's so many like incidental effects of like, oh, deal one damage when you draw a card, deal one damage when an artifact comes into play or goes into the yard. And I was like fucking busting a nut, and I lost that game, but I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Dude, even just fucking fetch lands, man. That's the thing with Ob is thing. Like, you play into Obnixilis and you're like, you can't help but just give them a little bit of value over the course of the game just by taking regular game actions, you know?
Yeah, because there's so many pain lands. There's that. There's like so many things. A CDH deck that could run mana barbs? Fucking let's go. I know. Let's motherfucking
some
go.
Some weird stack pieces. It's cool.
There's like a lot of interesting stuff in it, and like it's not really determined what the deck is yet. I think there's like some lists that are like considered the list, but like
there's a lot of
tinkering that's happening right now. Not that I really want to tinker. I'd rather just have the deck that's the deck and play that. But like, for I think it's actually probably the first time I'm excited to like look at building a CDH deck and really determine like some of those micro, like, is Mana Barbs good? Like, how good is that in this deck? Like, it truly could be. But, like, there's a lot of scenarios. It's 4 mana, blah, 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 blah. And it's just a fucking beater, baby. You just fucking smack people in the face.
Big boy. Blample?
One fucking of the big boys.
Blample? I think it was like a, I had him at like a 15-15 or something at some point. It was just fucking huge.
He gets giant so fast. Like, most games where I've played into an Obnixilis and they win, it's through, like, combat damage. They just, like, get a couple people with commander damage, and then you're like, well, that fucking sucks. Like, I'm staring down like a 2020 Obnixilis and you have 10 cards in exile. Like,
yeah,
Christ.
Right. And I think that preys on like one of the things where in CDH often like one or two of the decks, maybe flub, like one deck might keep kind of a bad hand. One deck may like pin a lot of hopes on like an early piece of card draw or something. And then if those things don't happen, those decks are kind of just like cruising a little bit.
Yeah.
And so the Obnixilis deck is, okay, I'll just kill the person that's going to be a threat at all otherwise, and then I can eventually clean up the other people. It's a really cool play style.
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm so fucking amped up. And I think it, for me, I feel like I've always just been against blue because blue is trash, but also because it almost feels like easy mode. And it's just like, I don't like that there's an automatic like 10 counterspell cards that are in there. It's just like not how I like to play. Like, I'm not the person that wants to put the counterspell on the stack. I'm going to probably put it on at the wrong time. It's against my nature.
There it is. That was it. That was the truth.
You thinking there's 10 counter spells that are just like free and unconditional is just such proof that you've never touched the colors.
That is truly what it is. It was that last thing that you said, that you would put them on the stack at the wrong time. It's because you don't read the counter spells and you don't know what they do. So it's like this mysterious, it's this magic that you cannot wield.
You cannot fathom it.
I read them once they're on the stack. Once I have placed it down, I'm like, I will fucking swan song your creature. Thank you.
Classic.
I love that, man.
Were there any highlights from those games for you, Nick? Or were you just trying to get through my geeking out of my mixless ball? It's like losing my fucking mind.
Yeah, Animar was present. That was about the extent of it. I don't think I was close to a win in either game, nor was I really doing much from what I remember. But so it goes.
So the next thing that happens then is like we get kicked out. Like a few people have showed up. We're here. We've got games and like they're starting to fire off of an event. So we all have to like pick up our shit and leave.
Yeah.
I think at that point, Nick and I were like, we'll like walk around a little bit. We'll like say hi, maybe look at a couple of vendors, but then try and find more play space with some of the patrons. So like we start off on our journey, like Sam and Frodo, just like fucking trying to find anything.
An unexpected journey
into the bowels of Mount Doom.
And then it hits us. We're like, we gotta go to the Mines of Moria in order to fucking like find play space. So like we kept going deeper into the convention center until eventually we find this like garage.
It's like another convention floor, but it's like, it's almost like they built the new convention floor on top of the old one. So it was like the lower level of the building behind these like frosted glass doors. So if you didn't know it was there, like it was kind of not clear
at all.
We
spoke friend and we entered.
Right.
And then there's like pillars everywhere. It literally looked like the Mines of Moria. Like
it was
I'm
like
not
a
just
sub
like
base floor. It was like a sub base floor, like maintenance area that's just like holding up the floors above.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I could see someone like cruising around there with like a service golf cart, like doing repairs 100%. And shit, you know.
Yeah, so like thankfully they had set up a bunch of tables under there, but they were all these like gigantic like 10 person
round
tables, which are like the worst tables to have for Magic. And the lighting was like this like greenish, like It was
just the glowing algae on the walls. Like,
yeah,
it was like
Geist flames, like lit up by ghosts just wandering around.
There were bathrooms down there. The bathrooms were notably moist. Like it was just like very dark and dank. And it was not a comfortable space, but it was a space where you could play games if you wanted to. And a lot of people did. Like there were, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 tables down there. And they were all full. Like
they
were
awful,
even still lucky to get the couple tables that we found down there.
Yeah.
Just because like that was just how it was. Like there was not a whole lot of extra space, but
I'll say like the round tables are just a bummer. Cause it's like, we were trying to play some like pods down there, but it was just hard because like you have to do it almost in like in a row. So it's like, we couldn't even really split like people on other side. Like you just didn't know what was happening. So it turned into very like, I'm playing a game isolated to myself almost.
Yeah.
And the people immediately next to me, I sort of know what their board state is, but that person over there, like, I don't know. You just fucking play cards. There was no removal, which means I fucking won. Cause I just like had everybody draw a shitload of cards in Zyrus. And then I don't even remember what the fuck I did, but I generated a fuckload of mana and was just like, everybody's dead. So that was fine. But this is where we reached the new point in the night.
The new chapter. in Tony's life.
So Frodo, Frodo left Sam and was being a dick and was like, yo, like, I don't need you. And so, like, I start playing One Piece with Smeagol, aka Rothboss.
No,
and we're like, we're gonna learn
the One Ring, more like the One Piece, baby. You know, you're tempted.
The One Piece. And what I discover in this moment is that there's like a lot of Magic players that are also playing One Piece.
Yes.
Like lots of people know of it and like
specifically Patreons too. Cause like basically everybody at the table knew what was happening
in
the One Piece game. And I was like,
I mean, Captain Cross plays. I know there's a handful of other people that play. So,
Well, so that's what happened. So Cross was like helping me like play the deck against Rothbox. And it was like definitely a good time. The difference is like, A, I got no fucking waifus. So I was like, what's the point of this? And then B, the deck I was playing was like a blinged out meta deck that just like kind of fucking slaps cheeks and it's very aggro and I'm here for it. Like that's like my style of thing. But I'm like,
hell yeah.
So I played that one game and it was against some stupid other fucking thing that's like really hard to beat. And I was like, I kind of hate this.
You played against the yellow one.
Yellow's dumb. Anybody who plays fucking One Piece, yellow's dumb. Let it be known.
It's a trash color for trash
it's
people.
It's a trash color for trash people. It's some bullshit.
Guess who plays it?
Mike does. Mike plays yellow black.
In the second game I played, it was just like evident because I was playing against Kroz and like I fucking clapped his cheeks good. and it felt good. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. I feel like for me, I discovered the game is fun. It's good.
Yeah, so good.
I personally don't need another fucking trading card game to start investing a bunch of time and money into.
Yeah.
And I think I talked about this with Mike on the side where I'm like, my meta and my game time with it would be like with you guys. Like, I'm not going to go play it somewhere else. I'm not going to like, and it's just like one more deck to have to bring. It was definitely like fun. I had a good time, mostly because the patrons and everybody were just like, we were just like goobing around and it was like a good time. But like, it wasn't anything like hyper special. I was like, yeah, there's anime waifus and nice card stock.
Stock is so nice, though.
Stock is pretty fucking nice. Magic should be embarrassed.
Yeah,
they honestly should in comparison. That's true. I think the best thing about One Piece, you kind of described it, Tony, is it's really like the best game to just have one or two decks with you. So if someone knows how to play, you can be like, let's jam a game right now, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes pods aren't quite right. Sometimes you are stuck in an airport and you have to sleep on the ground and spend the night there. And that's when those One Piece decks really come in handy.
That's when they shine.
And you're like, oh, we could play. We don't have to play our EDH decks into each other. We can play One Piece.
Great irony of that, though, is that was the origin of Magic, right? Like the origin of Magic was like Richard Garfield made it as a thing to do between like D&D sessions.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like meant to be a downtime activity between like playing D&D.
Yeah.
So like the fact that you so now cool. have a downtime activity for your downtime activity is really funny to me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think around this time, Mike and I were released from our servitude with the CDH event. And I only phrase it that way because literally in the last game, there's a moment where we were playing against a couple people and one of them was like, yeah, you guys seem like you've been here for a really long time. And I just looked over at Mike and both of us were just like blankly staring, like glazed over look. And I was like, yeah, we're kind of tired.
Yeah. One person was like, you guys have one more game or are you heading out? And we're like, yeah, we're heading out. Sorry. And he was like, I get it. You guys are people too.
Yeah. I so appreciated that.
I was like,
dude,
thank you for recognizing me as a human.
I will say like just a general comment, you know, obviously there were a ton of people who were trying to get games with us over the weekend and you can't get a game with everybody. You know, I even had some close friends like Andrew Rothbox where I couldn't get a game with him over the course of the weekend just because that's just sometimes how it falls. But everybody was really pleasant about just us being people and having to run from point A to point B, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone was super, super chill. So I really appreciated that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So we shot down to the dungeons and found you guys. Andrew had brought up an OP05 One Piece box, which was literally the perfect thing after playing CDH for 7.5 hours. I just turned off my brain and just ripped an entire booster box of One Piece. And got some fucking banger cards. Like Tony earlier was talking about like the bling of One Piece and to be able to be like, check this shit out right now. Like the textures and the foiling on them is like fucking insane. I flipped most of those into a Ragavan and a One Ring on Sunday over at the Mana Vault and just immediately turned that into value. Because, yeah, I also don't need to build another One Piece deck. I already have like six. So from there, we took off and we had a lovely hot pot dinner with our buddy Eric and our buddy Andrew Rothbox. And that was super, super fun. Just got to eat a bunch of tasty food. We literally sat there for like, it felt like 2 or 3 hours, like just eating.
And it was actually like 3 hours. It was also an atypical hot pot. It was not like someone came over and took your order. It was like they left an iPad with you that you could put in whatever you wanted. Yeah. And a robot would deliver most of the items.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So I was like, what is going on here?
It was very funny because like I eat a lot of hot pot and I feel like I like know how to navigate it and stuff. And I sat down and I ordered this. I was like, well, I'm going to get some rice. I ordered a bowl of rice and it came and I like got my setup and you guys were like, what you doing over there with that rice? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I take the food out of the hot pot, I put it on the rice and then I eat it. And you were all like, can we get 6 bowls of rice? It's just this like super funny thing where we just kept ordering more and more and more. And oh my God, dude.
It was good. It was fuel. There had been no lunch. It was like breakfast.
Snake time. That's what I'm saying.
It was snake time, man. For sure.
It did have a really cool like bar where you could like make your own
the sauce bar.
Like, dude, the sauce bar.
That was really cool.
I've never seen that. And I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Dude, if a
like,
hot pot place
it.
Doesn't have the sauce bar, I don't go.
No, I feel like I've been to plenty there. They don't have a sauce bar to that effect, but they like give you like
they give you the sauces.
Shabu Zen, that's like the local spot that we used to hit up in Boston. Yeah. They give you like a few sauce ingredients. That's like Bush League, man. You gotta go where there's a massive sauce bar. You mix your own fucking little creation and literally the food is a vehicle for the sauce. Like that's what it's all about, man.
Would you say that the sauce is boss?
The sauce is boss, and I got lost in the sauce, and I did not want to be found.
My eyes were bigger than that little bowl they gave you to make the sauce, because I like filled that shit up, and I was like, Jesus, I can't even mix these ingredients together. I've got so much shit in here, but it was great.
That was a treat. Then we bounced out of there, went back to all of our respectful places, and just like chilled hard, like did a little bit of nothing for a while, which was very pleasant.
Like 1 hour, not even like a long time. It was 1 hour because we were
a 1 hour break was
already
like a lot.
This was already like 9 o'clock at night though by that point.
This was like 9:30.
So then
we went back to the convention center because it stayed open until midnight
at 10:30. And keep in mind, it was also like the convention center was like a 20-minute walk away, and it was like 20 degrees outside.
It was
too.
A hike. Yes,
it was chilly, and it was snowing.
Was it snowing, I think?
It was the day it snowed, yeah.
Yeah.
So we walked back to the convention center, played another game, received my favorite piece of feedback that we received throughout the entire convention, which was a listener coming up and while we were playing a game, talking to us, and the highlight of his appreciation for our podcast was saying, yeah, it was good. It's a good podcast.
I remember that. That's the only thing that I remember from that game.
Shout out to Daniel. Yeah. That was Daniel.
Thank you for that feedback,
it's
Daniel.
Just so pleasant and complimentary. And I love that line. Just like, yeah, it's a good podcast. Like, and we were like, oh yeah, thank you. He's like, no, like it's a good podcast. And it's like, awesome, thank you. Like, and it's just that just
feels good.
It felt like the highest praise possible in that moment. I was just like, fuck yeah. Like, that is so good. He's very complimentary. It was a real treat to chat with him. And we had a couple other people come by. So at a certain point, we're playing an EDH game and we look over at Nick and he is like catatonic. He's hanging on.
I was so tired.
By a thread. And
I do not remember. Like, I remember playing that game. I don't remember what deck I played. I don't remember any of the actions in that game.
I also don't.
Could not tell you. Like, I remember that we played a game. That was the extent of it. And I remember being like, guys, I'm
the Jank Spank Warden came to town.
That's why I don't remember any game actions, because none of the things that did mattered, because we played against Grenzo.
That's also true.
And Grenzo fucking popped off, man. It was wild.
He was doing the thing. It made me feel good. I was like, oh, this deck still fucking works.
Still got it.
So Nick took off and went back to sleep. And then we were like, let's be gremlins and stay out as late as fuck as we want, you know? So we played a little bit of One Piece. We had some listeners come over, a couple that we had talked to earlier that day, but they came over, had to sign some stuff. That was really, really fun because we were just chatting with them. And one of them was like, I listen to you guys every day at work. It's so surreal to be seeing you in person and talking to you and seeing you. And he's like, it's very weird to hear your voices in real life. And that's yeah. that's a compliment that we got throughout the whole weekend, where people were like, first of all, you don't look like how I thought you'd look. And second of all, you're all way more attractive than I thought you'd be. And third of all, it's very surreal to hear your voices in person.
You added that second part.
You added that second one.
That got said.
I got that compliment.
That definitely got said.
Yeah. Not to toot my own horn, but toot toot. So we played a little bit of One Piece, which was super fun. Fox Alana from Playing With Power and Zeb and a couple others were at the table behind us also playing One Piece. Kev, Just Kev's Will, was hanging with us. Always a good time hanging with Kev. And Eric was chilling with us too. So at midnight, we got kicked out of that space and we were like, well, let's just kind of wander. And the building next to us, a lobby con was going on. So we went in there. Some people were playing on the ground, which wasn't really the vibe we wanted. We kind of wanted to get some drinks, but a bar closed down pretty quickly after we got over there. But it was fun. It was fun to just like catch up with a bunch of other creators that were in there. We got to chat with Bill from Jank Mats a bunch, which was wicked fun. Obviously, they're printing our mats for us. And it was just super cool to meet him and Jordy in person and chat with them.
We had a business boys chat. Love
that. We had like a deep business chat, which was awesome. It was like such the vibe. That. Then we bumped into Lua and Ian, who were ripping a game with Eric. And Tyler from Play to Win had texted us earlier and was sort of like, yo, we're at a bar trying to find Malort. So we went to go meet up with Tyler. And this was like our evening adventure. This was like late night debauchery.
Replaced the Clue adventure, because we can't do that twice in a weekend at a convention. It'd be like a full slug. So
I think we made the right call to go out super late on Saturday versus super late on Friday. So we wander like across town back over to where our Airbnb was, thankfully, like a couple blocks away from there, and find this little dive bar called Reggie's. And it's funny because we still have all of our cards and shit. And we're like, maybe they'll have some tables that we can jam a game on, you know, because we still wanted to play. And we walk into this like super dark and dingy dive. It was a vibe. It was really, really cool. We sat down and Tyler just kept getting the table shots of Malort. Eric got us some beers and we drank a lot of Malort. And honestly, my take is that it tasted good. I liked it.
It's got a strong aftertaste.
Yeah.
But I like it.
It's like any other bitter Amaro. You know what I mean? Like it,
yeah.
To me, it tasted like a Fernet Branca that was like way more mint heavy on the front. No sweetness and just like pure grapefruit rind on the back end.
It was fine.
Yeah, I wasn't offended by it by any way, shape, or form. Like, I liked it. I wouldn't order it specifically. But like, it was good. There were some people who were like, I will not drink this.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't want this. Cough, comedian, cough.
Ewy.
Literally. But it was a good time.
Yeah, some people were like physically reviled by it. And I mean, I drink a couple shots of it, so I didn't think it was that bad. And Mike and I did play a game of One Piece.
We did play a game of One Piece.
And again, that's where the magic nerds were coming out. People were like, oh, play One Piece? Like, get over here being like, oh, I played a couple years back, blah, 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 blah. Like, it was like kind of crazy. The amount of magic players are starting to do it is like higher than I want it to be.
It was great, man. Because we were there with Tyler from Play to Win and also like a handful of other Play to Win people in like the background, you know, like. Like, they also have a Nick, who's, like, the fourth Mythical Pod member. And they even have a Pat as well that, like, jumps in. So, like, they were all there and jamming. And they were, like, watching the One Piece game and really interested in, like, the mechanics of it and stuff like that. So that was a super, super fun time. And then at one point, Mike just looks at me and he's like, we need to leave.
I need to go to bed. Yeah. It's 2:30. It's time for me to be in my bed.
It was like, yep, that is right. This is the correct move. Got back to the Airbnb and I think I ended up waking up at like 6 a.m. the next day because I just slept like absolute dog shit and packed all of our stuff and headed back to the con for another day.
Hell yeah.
Sunday was very low key. We didn't have a ton of time to do stuff. We rolled in at like maybe 10:30 and Nick and Tony were leaving at like 2 to catch their flight. And Mike and I were leaving at like 3-ish to catch our flight. So the big thing that we did was in the morning we had put up the call the previous day that we were going to do like a big Howling Salt Mine picture with like our patrons and our listeners that were there. And we got like 30 people, maybe 35 people to all meet up at like the big Whatley statue at the front of the convention hall and take a big picture. And then we just, you know, signed things, chatted with everybody, signed tokens, handed out remaining tokens and stickers and stuff like that. And it was such a vibe, man. Like, huge thank you to everybody that showed up for that. That is a memory that I'm going to have for a long time.
And huge shout out to Ketchup for not making it on time.
Yeah, poor President Ketchup, like, took a wrong turn or, like, had some issue happen and couldn't make it. And he was just like, go on without me. Take the picture. But we got him. We still got a picture with him at
the
end.
Yeah, we got one with him separate.
But that was fun, just signing shit, taking photos with people. It was very surreal again.
That's my favorite photo that from the weekend, probably. And I shared it with so many people because I'm always like, guys, I'm sort of internet famous. Yeah. These people wanted to take pictures with me and I signed shit. And when people don't believe me, I'm like, well, here's my proof.
Yeah.
Here's my picture.
Here's my picture.
I've had a couple times over the past week where people are like, oh, you know, how was your weekend? Like, what did you do? It's like, oh yeah, I went to this like magic convention. You know, I signed a bunch of autographs. And then they're like, wait, what? I'm loosely affiliated with this like fairly popular podcast.
It's like, yeah, it's fucking sick.
Yeah, it was so dope. Great.
Such good vibes.
And then we went back into the convention hall and snagged a couple games. So we played one game with Tony, and I played a game of CDH with Covert Go Blue. And I feel bad.
But Sam and I kind of played CDH. Sam mostly played CDH and nobody else was allowed to have fun.
So I borrowed Mike's Magda deck and I forgot how stacksy Magda is.
Yeah, it is.
I forgot that it's full of like very brutal stacks pieces.
Yes.
I thought I was just going to be like, I'll just play this kind of like fringe tier deck. Like, we'll let, you know, CGB kind of do his thing. Other people can win. Cause it was
first
like a fringy
CDH game ever, right?
Yeah. And it was like a fringe pod. Like, somebody was on like a Krenko deck that was just like maybe high eight, maybe fringe CDH tier. And CGB borrowed Turbo Time, which is a deck that Kev developed. And Tony, you were borrowing Obnixilus, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to play and I mulligan and I have this hand that has a turn one Sphere of Resistance, and which makes everything cost one more. Right. So all your quick mana rocks that you want to drop on turn one, you can't play. And I was in seat one. So, of course, I drop it because I'm like, this is the best move at the time. And literally no one does anything for like the entire game. Like, it fucks everybody's plan.
Yeah, because then you also paid a fucking what's the fading counter thing?
I did play a Tangle Wire after that.
Yeah, like
okay, it was a couple turns after, but it was just a brutal,
not a super
game,
fun game,
and no one had fun.
CBG played one card the whole game.
He
and
played
got
two.
Pyroblasted,
or he played a
Jeweled Lotus.
Jeweled Lotus.
Sorry, he played one land.
And then he played
and
a Mind Break Trap when I was popping
then,
off, yeah, which I had a Pyroblast for, which was very funny. So yeah, it wasn't really a game. It was kind of a non-game. But it was funny because I was talking about it with Mike later when we were headed to the airport, and he was like, I can't believe you played that Sphere of Resistance turn one. And then I explained to him what was my opening hand, and he was like, yeah, turn one Sphere of Resistance.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where like it was absolutely the correct play from like if I'm trying to win the game, do the thing, like that was the correct play. That was a move. But I'm not gonna lie, like I feel like it made the game not fun, and like I know you kind of live for that shit, but like it wasn't fun.
Yeah, Tony was
I'll
mad
let you
at
know
me
it
afterwards.
Wasn't fun.
Tony was super mad at me afterwards.
Well, it's also because like again, like the other players like also barely did anything, so it's like we sat there for like 40 minutes maybe, like dicking around on it, and,
yeah,
like just like
yeah,
nothing was happening. So it's like that's why I'm like it was correct. I'm not saying it wasn't correct. It was just like, but then what was more frustrating is I had a Praetor's Grasp, and I was like, I should go take the combo piece out of Magda, and fucking Mike's like, nah,
don't you
like you don't need to worry about it. It's
don't
fine.
You put that on me.
Yeah,
that's not true.
And then you the next turn, Sam fucking
don't
won.
Don't you put that on me. There was an Abrade in your hand too that you just played at the wrong time.
Yep.
This is untrue.
Yeah, no, you cast it and didn't pay for the whatever. I mean, the game was pretty scuffed. I think in hindsight, like the thing is I didn't want to play Blue Farm. And in the hindsight, I just should have played Blue Farm, because Blue Farm, even though it's super strong, it doesn't stop other people from doing stuff. And truly, I just forgot that Magda had a shit ton of stacks pieces. But like, if I have a good stacks play in my opening hand, I'm not going to not play it because it's CDH. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I do
get the comment like, you know, sorry, CGB, I owe you a game.
I mean, he'll probably just never play CEDH again. If I was him, I would never play it again if that was my experience.
Well, like, I mean, that's this like, this is just like Nexus MTG yeah. Part 2 from fucking Philly.
I was
going
to say, we have a track record of introducing other creators to
a horrible
CEDH and just giving them absolutely shit experiences.
Oh,
the
man.
One thing I'll say is after that, I was determined to find a borderless mana crypt, and I had been looking all weekend and literally could not find it. And then my Sam, aka Nick, was like, oh, look at this thing right here, the exact card you've been looking for but can't seem to fucking find anywhere you go.
There's four of them
at a reasonable price. There's four.
Did you buy it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, I didn't know that.
So I bought one.
That's dope.
And I was like, this is great because it's really kind of my only expense from the weekend, which
yeah.
feels good. But I will also say that made me think of at the beginning on the first day, Flood was like, yo, I need you. I need you to convince me to buy
Big
a
dog.
Fucking masterpiece soul ring. And I was like, did you make your rent last month? He's like, yeah. I was like, you're going to make your rent this month? He's like, yeah. And I was like, then fucking buy it, baby. That's like my new, like, I don't know that it's great, but I was like, I got to set a threshold somewhere. And that seems like a reasonable place to
that
do
That is
it.
Amazing, dude. I love it.
And and so that's what I thought when I also bought my mana crypt. I was like, you know what? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, let's fucking go.
I fucking love that, man. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So after that, we did something that I think we're going to keep going in conventions moving forward. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we did this weekend was like, I think we came away from it being like, we have to do this at conventions moving forward. Like the Howling Salt Mine meetup, the big group photo. Those are things I want to keep going.
Yeah.
But this thing that we did on Sunday was super fun. We walked around with a recorder and basically just found random people, a mix of creators, just random people at the con, and then patrons and listeners that we had bumped into, and just asked them what made them salty. And, you know, everybody was giving us like a 30-second to maybe minute, 2-minute soundbite. And our plan is to take all of those and pull them into like a lightning round what makes you salty episode and have that on the main feed at some point in the near future. So that's something to look forward to. And it was just really fun to chat with people and to see them get excited about that question, like what makes you salty? Because so many people would kind of be like, you know, if they weren't listeners, they're kind of be like, yeah, I'll record something with you. And I'm like, I'm going to ask you what makes you salty. And then they'd kind of crack a smile and be like, oh, man. And we caught some pods in the middle of a salty play. I was like running around to all of them trying to get the sound bites because they were all like, oh, well, you did this. And it's like, yeah, but you can fucking do all this shit. It was so good, man. Just yeah. immediately seeing people like tear into each other a little bit. It was fucking
I feel great. Like the transition there that you hit on is the like awkward nerds at a convention. Someone's approaching me and being like, can I record you? And then being like, and then as soon as we were like, I want to ask you what makes you salty. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got
yeah,
to like rolling up the sleeves and be like, I got you. Yeah, like, I know what this is. Like,
and some people in those moments were like, oh, are you the Howling Salt Mine guys? And I was like, yes, we are. This is fucking dope. Yeah. And, you know, the patrons were catching wind of it and tracking us down and giving us their salty takes. And there are a bunch of really good ones. I mean, you get some of the classic ones, MLD, a lot of people hating on Psych Rift. I think we had three people say Psych Rift that they hated it. But man, there are some really, really cool ones that I'm stoked to talk about when we get that clip show together. So that was just like kind of a fun twist on the type of content that we normally do and like an experiment in bringing it to the convention. And I think at least that phase of the experiment was a success. So that's something that we'll do at future cons for sure.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Hell yeah.
And that was pretty much that last day. Tony and Nick had to take off around 2, and I just did some solo recording while Mike was jamming a little bit of One Piece. And then that was kind of that. We walked around, said our goodbyes to a bunch of people, and passed out the remainder of our tokens. We just dumped some on some tables in the creator corner so people could grab them as they walked by. And then we took off.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That's another con in the books.
Yeah, man.
Con in the books, baby.
You know, I think we said it enough times, but I'll say it again, that this was just an amazing experience. I think all of the people that came up to us, wanted to chat with us, wanted to have us sign stuff, really just made it feel so special. It felt crazy to be at that level, because that's like what we would do at old conventions to creators that we love. And now people are doing that to us, which is wild. I think one of the best compliments that we got over the course of the weekend was
good podcast.
Yeah, well, definitely that, dude. I fucking love that. But people were very surprised and excited to find out that we were just as chill in real life as we are, or as we come across on the podcast. Like, they're like, oh, you're not different at all. Like, just hanging and chatting with you and playing a game with you feels the same. Like, it's the same vibe. And people really love that we were, like, genuine about that. And, you know, I don't know if that's, like, something that doesn't happen with other people out there. I mean, I'm sure it does with someone, but that was very, very cool. Like, just to be in that community. And it really just felt like hanging out with friends when we were chatting with listeners and jamming games with them. And that was a very special thing. It's like I said at the top of the show, if the Howling Saltmine community was an LGS, I would play there every single night.
Definitely.
And I really mean that. Like, the vibes are just amazing.
People love raw Tony G, and that's what they get when he's out in the wild.
Oh, boy. I will say,
oh, boy.
It definitely felt more like HSM Con than Magic Con, because, like, that was, like, the full experience was, like, very much just, like, focused on the podcast. Yeah, there was some other magic stuff that was going on in the background, but it was very much just, like, all podcast people all the time, which was
I'd agree. And, like, that was, like, the cool part about it. That's, like, we were able to be at this big thing and, like, have that kind of vibe. Like, I felt like we were rolling deep with a crew the whole time.
Yes.
And it was, like, sick. I was, like, this is fucking ratchet and I'm here for it.
It was just so cool to, like, meet people on Friday at that get together and then continue to bump into them over the course of the weekend, which was kind of by design. Like, when we were kicking around what day we wanted to have that meetup, Tony, I think you had the idea of having it on Friday, because then people can meet each other and make friends for the weekend. And then, like, have a crew to hang with over the course of the weekend. You know, it's the same for us. Like, we have this crew of listeners and patrons that we can hang with. And I do want to shout out this crew from Des Moines, Iowa. It was so funny. Like, we have, like, three distinct groups of listeners that are all from Des Moines, Iowa. And when Mike and I were having that CDH game, Patrick and Eric were in, like, different friend groups, but realized that they, like, chilled at the same LGS. And they were yo, we should play games.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll see you on Monday.
They're like, I think we have a group of like 15 prospectors at this one LGS in Des Moines, Iowa. So shout out to all of you. Also, huge shout out for hiding Yargle cards all over us all weekend.
Also, thank you for introducing that to us.
Yeah.
I got Sam later in the day.
I love the Yargle.
Back pocketed one of them.
The Yargling was so fucking funny. Next to Big Dog, that was like one of my favorite things that came out of the weekend. I came home and found a couple more Yargles like in my quiver and stuff like that. So just hiding Yargle showcase cards on people as a prank is hilarious.
I have one in my wallet now that's ready to go at a moment's notice.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea.
Drop of the hat, reverse pickpocket.
But yeah, that was super cool. I mean, everybody was just really chill. Appreciate everybody making the drive out, making the trip out. And, you know, we're hoping to run it all back at Vegas later this year. So, you know, we're not going to be at Amsterdam. We have a couple other smaller local conventions that we're going to. Like I already mentioned, Mike and I are going to be at Punt City 3, which is a CDH tournament in April. Early April, just outside of Philly. And then probably going to have some kind of presence at Commander Sealed in September up in Rochester, New York. And then the next big one that we're looking at is Vegas. So Vegas later this fall, I think it's at the end of October is usually when that hits. Our plan is to go there, do the same thing. We'll most likely have a big get together. This time, I think we will do a meet and greet, because that was something that we've been talking about, is having that focused area where it's like, okay, we're going to be signing a bunch of shit right now just to like knock it all out. And then, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll do a live Howling Saltmine podcast if we're big enough by the time. That's my dream goal, is to do that, but also be big enough where it's worth it to do that. And we're not just, you know, giving a show for Nick and Pat in the audience.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't bother.
any parting thoughts, guys?
I think you've touched on like everything. It was like super fun. The main thing is like, if we didn't get to play games with you at this one, I am sad about that, but just try again next time.
Same. Yeah.
Because I definitely want to. It's just
it's a matter of
time. You think about it, like how many games a day I played is probably only around like 5 or 6 maybe. And so it's like, that's just not very many games to get in over the course of a weekend. Yeah. And a bunch of people were asking. And it means something to me just that you want to play, and like that's like super fun and good to know.
Same, definitely.
It was nice making connections with a bunch of different people. I'll like shout out at Fox at some point in the near future. I think we'll play in Michigan.
Hell yeah.
I'll have my Omnixilis deck by then so we could play CEDH.
Nice.
It'll be after the musical.
I think you said it well, Tony. Like I think maybe I played 16 games over the weekend, and that's a fuck ton. And even with that, I wasn't able to play with every single person that wanted to get a game in.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it goes, you know? And as the show grows, we will be busier and busier, hopefully, at these conventions. But I think that that really highlights like wanting to set aside that time on that first day to meet with people, jam pickup games as many as we can, and just have that like relaxed space to meet people and kind of vibe before the whole convention kicks off. Like that was such a good idea.
And one last thing I'll say, sorry, that I forgot about is if you have a bling deck, I want to fucking see it.
Yes.
Don't show me
while we're waiting for the Uber
30 seconds before my Uber arrives and tease me and like show me your fucking like colorless beautiful deck that's just got like every spicy thing
so
in
funny.
There I want to see your bling decks, but show them to me earlier.
Yeah, the backstory there was that Tony and I were like waiting outside the convention center for the Uber to pick us up. And this guy comes up to Tony and is like, hey, you got to check out my deck, and like pulls out his deck box and like hands it to Tony. And I'm like, Tony, the Uber's like rounding the corner right now.
I know, but I was like busting a nut looking at it. I was like, oh, it's so nice.
Oh, man.
Like all the Kaladesh masterpieces, like,
God, dude.
I was like, fuck. Because even just that, I was like, I'm probably holding like
dollary bills,
a lot of dollary bills right now. Yeah. I should just fucking run.
Cash
just
money
kidding.
Should have jumped in that Uber.
Your blue decks. Yeah.
Man, just like some of the decks that people had were fucking so dope. So many awesome brews. Just thanks again to everybody that showed up, everybody that made us feel special and welcomed. And we hope that we did the same for you. And, you know, hope to see you at a future convention, because these are a ton of fun. And I always leave these just feeling like electric with the vibe of like the gathering.
With magical energy.
Yeah, it's the best.
For sure. It's the best and the worst, because then I also usually drop a shitload of money right after one of these.
Yep. That
which
is
I've started
true.
To do.
Yeah, as I'm building a Sisse list so I can play it in a tournament in 3 weeks. Well, I think that's it, y'all. And before we get out of here, guys, we got to shout them out. Our Salt Packet Plus tier folks. This week we got Rothbox, Bathroom Entity, Bobo Fett, Brandon Mouse Cop, Chameleon, Captain Kroz, Clearbrook, Doug's Dad, Firehawk Ash, Eves, Joe Danson, Pez, Vok, and D. Beeson. Thank you for supporting us. Really, really appreciate it. And was super stoked to meet those of you that were at the convention, which we're a fair amount from that list. After we shout them out, you know, we got to thank all the other prospectors out there, whether you were at the convention and got to meet with us and hang with us in person, or you're just tuning in every single week and supporting us that way. We really appreciate you guys hanging out with us every single week. If you want more Howling Salt Mine in your life, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Howling Salt Mine. We have our Stray Grain show. We're putting up weekly short form clips, all the stuff that gets cut from the main ep. We have our Extra Salt series, which is our monthly long form episodes where we're talking about our favorite cards, doing deck techs, doing Q&As, different things like that. We also just have a thriving Discord community. We're in there pretty much every single day, hanging out with everybody, talking about deck lists. We've got an awesome music league going on right now, if you're into that kind of stuff. It's just a really, really good time. When new episodes drop, we all jump into a dedicated chat and chat about the new episodes in our episode forum that we have in the Discord. So if you want that next level of engagement with the pod, that's where you're going to find it. Another way that you can help out the show is to send us your salty stories, whether that's through our website, which is thehowlingsaltmine.com, or howlingsaltmine.com will also get you there. Or you send it to us on our Gmail, which is thehowlingsaltmine@gmail.com. Either way, we're going to get those stories into our queue and read them on a future episode. Another way you can help out the show is check out our merchandise. We still have the Chicago Pizza the Gathering shirt up. So if you didn't get one and you want that design, you like that food token design and want it on some shirts, check that out. It was amazing how many people we saw wearing that shirt over the course of the weekend. I feel like we saw maybe 15 of those shirts floating around, which was pretty fucking cool. We also have 1-800-ARE-YOU-FLAPPING, the classic logo, all that stuff. We also have play mats now because we've partnered with Jank Mats. We're part of their creator corner. They are producing our play mats. Right now, we just have our borderless logo design up, but we're going to be converting a bunch of our t-shirt designs into new playmat designs. And then we also have some other designs in the works as well. So go check that out. Support them. Whether or not you get a Howling Salt Mine playmat, support those guys anyways, because it's just a fantastic product. Another way you can help out the show is to give us a 5-star review in your favorite podcast app of choice. Whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that helps us stick out in the algorithm, helps other people stumble across our show, and gets more people into the mine. That is a huge thing that you can do. Takes just a couple seconds and helps immensely with the show. And that's it. I think the last thing we have to do is shout them out like we do every single week. Our amazing friend JD Burnett for giving us this beautiful podcast art that we rock every single week. If you're ever in Asheville, North Carolina, hit him up and get a tattoo because he's a really dope guy.
10,000 subscribers or bust.
Indeed.
I have to say it. I loved at the con that people said some of the things that are said, and I love that many of them were my phrases.
Dude, one of my favorite moments was when right after we talked to Covert Go Blue, and he was like, I think you guys are going to get really big someday. We're like, thanks, dude. And then he walked away and he's like, 10,000 subscribers or bust. And we're like, oh my God, yeah. Just like stunned.
I literally was losing my shit when that happened. Yeah, I was like, hell yeah.
So it was so good.
Cool.
Anyways, stay salty, everybody. And as always, don't forget to draw an additional card during your draw step. Big dog!
Nice.
Big dog.
It's the Howling Salt Mine. The Howling Salt Mine.
Harmby Barm Day.
Harm Darm Derb.
Hamby Bamdy.
Happy
Bitch.
Harp your Bark Darp. Bitch.
Find a salty. Oops. Find the salty. Oh my God.
Fucking
my brain.
Oh my God. Sorry. There's so many games and they're all flowing back to me.
I know. There's so much, dude. Yo, let me do my retake, man. No, let me do my clean retake. I'm going to say it again.